Do we have our caller? Okay, yeah. Good. So Ken Fang is from Awful Announcing, and we are looking forward to this conversation. Ken, welcome to Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Ken, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's up? Nice to talk to you guys. And Pete, long time no talk.
My God, what's it been, 25? When's the last time I saw you? 30? 25
like
years
that.
Ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love your Twitter handle because it says Proud Taiwanese American. And Fang's by you, and just explain. You have an awesome following, awesome, you know, Awful Announcing. But you write about sports inside stuff. But how long does it take you every day? You put out a thing every day, a tweet about every single game that's on TV on every single network. How long does that take you to do that?
It takes me over an hour if it's done right. I try not to skimp on that, and I do it on my site. I also do it for Awful Announcing, where I just put the national stuff. But for my site, I put all the local stuff in there as well. But, it takes me over an hour to do it if I do it right, and I don't like to skimp. So if I'm really tired, I'm not going to do it. But if I'm up and ready to do it, it takes me like an hour, hour and a half.
Well, it's a good thing you do it, because my friend Pete Shepard here, in the 2 years I've known him, watches more TV than any other human being on Earth, whether it be sporting events, Game of Thrones. I mean, so he needs your guide. He needs to know what's on who's calling the games. He lives for you, man.
You know what? I appreciate that. At least, as long as I know at least one person is reading, it's all worth it.
Every day. All right. So, you know, we were prepared. We came on the show at 2 o'clock about, you know, Del Demps. That story just broke about 12:30 or so, whatever it was. But then we have the Kaepernick story. We have the Antonio Brown story. We have now another story just came out that the Raiders are cautiously optimistic they may stay in Oakland.
Nice.
Whatever that. But let's start with the Colin Kaepernick stuff, because you know, it's, what's your best guess? How much money do you think he's getting out of this?
Good question. I mean, you know, the whole thing about Kaepernick, and pretty much been blackballed out of the league since he was cut by the 49ers. I mean, there's no estimate of what he could get at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got a lot of money out of this. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, if the NFL could have hit it a little bit better what they were trying to do with it, but it's rather obvious that they just pretty much blackballed him out of the league and pretty much tried to make sure he's out. I mean, you can see all the people who have been signed, you know, basically, people who have done domestic violence, they've been arrested, and still been signed and given second chances, where Kaepernick has not been given any chance whatsoever.
Well, we're thinking the number is going to be pretty high. Of course, the NFL settled with him today. We don't know what the number is, but we're figuring a couple of years lost salary, future salaries. Yep. It's going to be, I think it's north of 50, easy. Mm. But it's anybody's guess, because that'll be that'll be secret information for a while.
That's going to be that's going to be confidential. But I'm sure that Colin won't be suffering for money.
Yeah.
So do you think, you know, Florio or Pro Football Talk had a piece a little while ago that part of this agreement will be that he never asked to play in the NFL again? You buying that?
You know, Florio is a little bit loves to flaunt the fact that he's that outside insider, and very annoying. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's correct on this one. I hate to admit that, but I think he's correct.
All right, and you write about, well, go ahead, Greg.
Well, I was just going to ask, because you know about everything going on with announcing. I'm kind of curious with the Daytona 500 this weekend, and they have this elaborate broadcast. They do a great job. There are a couple of new female broadcasters joining it. How's it going to work? I mean, is Chris Myers still anchoring the thing, or they have a new look this year? What's going on?
Well, it's just the fact that the two people they've added, one of them is Sarah Walsh, who unfortunately was really mistreated by ESPN. If you read some of the backstory that what happened to her, part of those massive layoffs that they had a couple of years ago. They're just going to have a couple rotating hosts for NASCAR Race Hub on the weekends, so they'll be part of that. Okay. Chris Myers will still be the main host. Shannon Spakey is still going to be some of the hosts doing some of the work inside of the NASCAR as well. But you're right. Fox does a great job on NASCAR. This is one of their signature events. They treat it well. They've treated the Daytona 500 with the respect that kind of reserves it does reserve it deserves. So you know, I Chris Myers will still be there, although I will tell you an interesting story that I named him once the worst announcer on for NFL announcer, and I don't know what it was. Fox Sports PR was very happy to tell me he wanted to fight me. And I saw him over at the media day over at Super Bowl 46, I believe, the one in New York, 47?
Yeah.
I think 46.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, if Griff wants to fight me, I'll fight him. And I saw him, and I said, hey, Chris, it's Ken Fang. And he goes, and all of a sudden he big-timed me and ran away. So I don't know what the hell that was. But I said, look, if he wants to fight me, I'll fight him. I don't care.
Well, you're 6'8", 220, so I can see why I'd be afraid of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you with that, first of all, like our program director and producer over at Chris, you have a baby face. You look like you're 12.
Exactly.
I mean, you wouldn't scare a 10-year-old. But no, I'm not saying that you know, not questioning your manner or anything like that. But
no,
you're a docile guy. You don't fight people.
No, but I was like, he wants to fight me. I'll come over there. I'm not going to back down from it. So I'm like, okay.
You know what?
And he was signing autographs, and he looked at me. He says, hey, Chris, it's Ken Fang. How are you? You want to fight me? And he just turned around. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, in all fairness, man. Super Bowl coverage and other media types, with all the media, a lot of people get on my nerves that week anyway. So you could be in a bad mood, man. I mean, you could throw down with other members of the media. Yeah. Hey,
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. We carry the Red Sox here on our station because they do spring training. Now, last count, after taking the Tigers, Mario Empemba, and I think Chris Berman, the Red Sox are going to have no less than 12 radio play-by-play announcers. How's this going to work?
Why didn't they sign you guys? I mean,
I was over there today. I was asked if I wanted to join the team. I told them, no, I'm too busy with the show.
It's an interesting approach. I know that the flagship station was chastised for wanting to make it more of a talk show type of thing. I think people took it more of a debate type of situation.
Yeah.
But now they're going to have as many as three people in the booth, which is going to be crowded for radio because you're going to try and shoehorn people in. You're going to have one day they're going to have Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough, and Dave O'Brien. And all three are just going to try and talk. And I know they're going to try and respect each other, and they're all professionals. But three people in a booth on radio is just way too much.
Yeah.
And I understand they would want to do a different approach, but I'm just wondering what EEI is trying to accomplish here. They're trying to, and I know they want to go away from the conventional baseball play-by-play, and I know that they're not going to try and take phone calls during a game because that would be just ridiculous. But I'm just wondering what they're trying to prove here, and are they trying to reimagine or repurpose the baseball broadcast? Because, you know, New England fans just, they don't like change. They want to be able to hear a broadcast and just a nuts and bolts broadcast. And Uncle Joe Castiglione has been there since, I believe, the 1940s or so.
35 years.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish on this, but, you know, some of the names are fine. Sean McDonough is a professional. Mario Empemba has, of course, you know, he got fired for having a fight with his partner Rod Allen at Fox Point Sports Detroit last year. Josh Lewin was a former Mets voice and also done the San Diego Chargers. So there's going to be a lot of people, and usually in baseball you like to have a regular partner so you can bounce off that guy. But, you know, having like 75 people rotating over a year, that's just going to be a little, I think it's going to be too much. And maybe Joe Castiglione's head may explode on there because he's working with so many people.
Yeah, it is. It'll be. I believe Sean, and I mean, Dave's going to do the national games when the Red Sox are on national TV. And Sean's probably going to, I think Sean's going to do a big chunk of them. Put it that way.
I agree.
And then maybe Lou Maloney's in there, and then that kind of a combination could work with Joe. But I don't see Sean and Dave O'Brien in the broadcast booth together very often. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But
no, I think it's going to be when Fox and ESPN are coming in, they'll probably have Dave. That's when Dave will be in the booth back with Joe again. But I cringe at the fact that Chris Berman is going to be part of that because Chris cannot call it. I've heard Chris call radio before, and he would do the playoffs, and I just cringe because it sounds like he's calling the game off a monitor, and he misses a lot of things because, like, the entire field, because he's distracted on other things. You're going to have to watch Nesson to see what he misses.
That's funny. Ken Fang is with us from Awful Announcing. All right, the other day when Bill Walton had a birthday cupcake lit with a candle, does he not understand how that works? For those that don't know, he took the cupcake frosting side up with the flame side up, put it in the back of his throat and ate it, put out the flame. Does he not know how this works? Was he already lit when he did this? What was the backstory on that?
You know, I just think that Bill just likes to do good television, you know? Mm-hmm. He wants to shock people, and I think he wanted to shock Dave Pass, his regular partner. I've talked to Dave about this, about some of the stuff that he's done on the air, and Bill has taken the approach that he doesn't talk to Dave before the games. He just saves it for the air. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to shock him, he will do so. Dave has gotten to the point where he says nothing shocks him anymore, but that you could see that truly did shock him. So the fact is that is Bill Walton stoned before he goes on the games? It wouldn't surprise me. But he does understand that it's all about entertainment and entertaining the fans. And if he wants to say something that is or do something that is totally off the wall and totally out of left field, he will do it. And you know what? I think we as Americans are better for it.
All right. Final question, because you do a lot of entertainment stuff. But this is a story you tweeted out. I think it was yesterday. And I'm looking at college football, which we talk a lot about down here. And I'm looking at your this kid, Blake Carringer. And his college lists include Alabama, Florida, and then Amherst College. And for those of you who might, Amherst College is a very small academic type, little mini Harvard out in western Massachusetts, almost in New York, for God's sakes. But it turns out that Blake Carringer, he wormed his way into a three-star ranking, but he isn't. What happened here?
You know what? More power to him for faking this whole thing. I mean, it just goes that some people don't check these things, and they should. He just basically catfished his way into a three-star rating. But people should realize if you have two SEC schools there and a school from a small New England college, something two and two is not going to add up to four. So in this case, two and two added up to negative 45. But yeah. You know what? More power to the kid for, you know, faking this rating and getting it, getting coverage on it. It makes you laugh for a while, but some people don't check these things. And I think he just wanted to prove a point, and he did that.
6'6", 315-pound offensive tackle from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know. It's great. But, you know, people want to believe it's too good to be true. And what did they say? If it sounds too good to be true, yeah. It is. And, look, more power to the kid for doing it.
Well, Ken, love to have you on again. Yeah. Thanks. Next time you're on, I understand you're a Browns fan. We got to get into Jimmy Haslam and Kareem Hunt and Baker Mayfield.
Don't get me started.
We'll do that next time. Thank you for coming on, Ken. Appreciate
it. Ken. Great to catch
up
with you.
Absolutely.
That is Ken Fink from Awful Announcing here on Sheeman and Shepherd.